You ready? All right, thank y'all for all coming today. Nice and warm in here and toasty. We're grateful for that. I'm going to declare that everybody's here, quorum's present. This is the November 15, 2019 regularly called meeting, the Upshur County Commissioner's Court. Item one, before we get started, we're going to ask Commissioner Gentry to offer us a prayer and Mr. Nicholson to lead us in both pledges.
Father God, we thank you for this day and for the opportunities, Father, that each day brings. We thank you, Father, that we have a building and shelter and warmth from the cold. I ask, Father, that you be with those that are not as fortunate, Lord, and that you would keep your hand of protection over them. I pray, Father, that you would also be with our men and women who protect us at home and abroad, who serve us fearlessly and dedicate their lives to that purpose. And I ask, Father, also for blessings for their families who support them. I ask that you would give us and continue to give us wisdom in the matters that concern our county and our nation. And I pray, Father, for our nation. We need you now more than ever. And I just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
All righty, we've got two people that have signed up to speak to us. We'll go in alphabetical order. Mr. Gross.
Yes, sir.
Time's yours. You can stay there if you holler.
I usually don't mean to holler, Your Honor.
Okay.
I just came to speak to you about the Clay Amendment. I think it's one of the foundations of our nation that we dare not give up. I left some articles for the commissioners, or an article that was in the Longview News Journal a couple of weeks ago about Mr. Walter Williams. I think I'll just read the last statement there. Americans who call for stricter and stricter gun control know that getting rid of rifles will do little or nothing. That's proven fact from the FBI statistics. Their calls for more restrictive gun laws are part of a larger strategy to outlaw gun ownership altogether. You have to wonder what the purpose of this is and what they have in store for us if we do give up our Second Amendment right. The last statement Mr. Walter makes is that Venezuelan dictator Nicolas Maduro banned private gun ownership in 2012. And I think all of you have seen the results of that on the TV in the last year or two. The Second Amendment not only gives us a right to protect ourselves, but it gives us a right to protect ourselves from a tyrannical government, either foreign or domestic. And there's a huge push in this country to take away the defense and do away with the Second Amendment. There's a real battle in our Constitution in all areas, and we need to support everything we can on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gross. Mr. Nix, time's now yours.
Okay. President Thomas Jefferson said, "No free man shall be barred the use of arms." Parker County, Texas, Husband County, Texas, Presidio County, Texas, Hood County, Texas, and our neighbor, Smith County, Texas, have become sanctuary counties for the Second Amendment. Now, I feel that some of these socialist gun takers and red flag promoters that are getting elected or trying to get elected not only want to take your guns, but have declared publicly that they will come and take your guns. We've even had presidential candidates say that if they're elected, they will come to your house and take your rifles away. That's where they'll start, and then they'll finish up by taking every gun that you have. Now, so they warned us, we've been warned. It's up to us to do something about it. So it seems to me that if it's okay to have sanctuary cities for people who are not even citizens of this great country, it ought to be okay to have a sanctuary county that would protect our Second Amendment rights. So, I believe that Upshur County needs to accept this, adopt this, and become a sanctuary county so that we can protect those rights. So I'm asking that we make Upshur County a Second Amendment county. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nix.
Mr. Nix, what was your first name in the newspaper, please?
David.
All righty. Item number two, consider and take action on approval of A, the minutes of the previous meetings, B, payroll changes, C, the payroll, D, budget amendments, E, accounts payable, and F, auditor reports, treasurer's reports, bonds, oaths, deputations, certificates, refund of overpayment or erroneous tax payments in excess of $2,500, and applications for use of Upshur County roads and rights of way and permit requests.
Motion to approve A through F.
Second.
Motion and a second that we approve items 2A through F. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll vote. Those in favor, please indicate.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0. Number three, discuss and take action to designate Yule Fest 2019, Saturday, December 7, as an official shop local day. Need a motion.
Motion to approve. Second.
Motion and a second that we designate Saturday, December 7 as the official shop local day in connection with the Yule Fest 2019. Any further discussion? Those in favor, please indicate.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0. Number four, discuss and take action to approve a resolution declaring Upshur County, Texas a Second Amendment county.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Yes.
Mr. Dolly.
I have a statement that I make before you take the vote.
You may. I may let you read this resolution. Go ahead with your statement.
First, I'd like to say thank you for all the encouraging comments and support for this resolution. I have spoken personally with the members of the Commissioner's Court, the Sheriff, the JP, the Constables, and the Chief of Police of Upshur County, and all have stated their support for the Second Amendment of the United States of America. It gives each and every law-abiding citizen the right to keep and bear arms. We live in a society with a growing number of individuals that have evil desire to harm and force their wills on others. I do not believe that the solution to preventing acts of terror and laws by bad or deranged people is to weaken the ability of good and rational people to defend themselves. There were multiple versions of the Second Amendment considered at the Constitutional Convention. Number one, Congress shall never disarm any citizen. Number two, that the said Constitution be never construed to prevent the people of the United States who are peaceful citizens from keeping their own arms. Number three, no law shall be passed for disarming the people. This is a few of the ideals of our forefathers in the forming of the Constitution. They never intended or considered the disarming of the citizens. The 1800s Connecticut Justice Zephaniah Swift stated, "Self-defense or self-preservation is one of the first laws of nature, which no man should ever resign or give up." 1800s United States Supreme Court Justice Joseph Story stated, "The right of the citizens to keep and bear arms has justly been considered as a safeguard of the liberties of the Republic." Justice Story also said, "The right of the citizens to keep and bear arms offers a strong moral check against the illegal seizure of property and uncontrolled power of rulers, and will enable the people to triumph over them." by which one of the ordinary modes tyrants accomplish their purpose without resistance is by disarming the people and making it an offense to keep arms. These men had divine insight into what is happening today. No doubt the socialists, communists have teamed up to take our weapons so they can force their will upon the innocent, hardworking, law-abiding citizens of America. Studies by the NRA indicate that firearms are used more than 2 million times a year for personal protection, and that the presence of a firearm without a shot being fired prevents crime in many instances. Their monthly publication has an average of 5 documented instances where firearms saved an individual from a criminal or a criminal act. A survey by the United States Center for Disease Control and Prevention indicated that people defend themselves with firearms over a million times a year. The 1st, 2nd, 4th, 10th, and 14th Amendments are the backbone of our Constitution. And if any one of these fall, all the others will soon fall thereafter. I strongly encourage and admonish everyone to be informed on the laws that are being presented. Know your elected officials and where they stand. Vote and voice your concerns. Stand and fight for our rights and freedoms we enjoy, or we will soon lose them, and we will never get them back. And our grandchildren and great-grandchildren and on down the line will curse us for allowing a bunch of communists and socialists to destroy this great county, state, and nation. Thank you, Upton County, for your bold stand.
I think this needs to be read before we vote on it. And I want to give credit to Gene Dolly. He's the one that got after me to do this. And I want to tell y'all before I read it, I don't really like doing resolutions. I've got no trepidation about doing this one. It's a long and winding road that led us to where we are. And so what I did was look at some forms some other counties were using, and I sort of cobbled together something that I've thought as your judge was appropriate under the circumstances. And it says, resolution declaring Upshur County, Texas, a Second Amendment county. The Constitution of the U.S. is the supreme law of the nation, and the Texas Constitution is the supreme law of the state. The Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution provides in pertinent part that a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution provides that no state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of the citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of the law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. The United States Supreme Court, in the case of the District of Columbia versus Heller, decided in 2008, further illuminated the parameters of the Second Amendment by ruling that the right of private citizens to keep and bear arms is further secured by the due process and privileges and immunities clauses of the 14th Amendment, which stated another way means that the right of the people to keep and bear arms applies to state and local governments as well as to the federal government. The Texas Constitution, Article 1, Section 23, provides that every citizen shall have the right to keep and bear arms in the lawful defense of himself or the state. Whereas we intend in this county to allow our law-abiding citizens to be well-armed to protect themselves from criminals and violence. And whereas the last protectors of the U.S. Constitution and Texas Constitution are the county sheriffs, and the people themselves of the United States of America, and that our ability to fulfill that role as protectors of our rights successfully rests on the Second Amendment. Now therefore be it resolved that the people of Upshur County, Texas, through their duly elected commissioners, court, sheriff, and constables, hereby designate Upshur County, Texas, as a Second Amendment county in order to preserve for the people who reside in Upshur County, Texas, their rights guaranteed by the United States and Texas Constitution. Further, we the people of Upshur County, Texas, through this resolution, hereby declare our rights, our freedom, and our liberty as guaranteed by the said founding documents of the United States of America and the state of Texas. And if this passes, it'll be in witness whereof this is resolved on November 15, 2019. Now, when I grew up, the Supreme Court always held no, Second Amendment applies to militias. It's not the law now. 2008, they specifically ruled it's broader than that and that you have a constitutional right to be armed. And, you know, I'm, like I said, I don't really do these a lot, but I've got no problem with this. And if some of you history buffs, some of the powers of the world in the 1940s, that, you know, that was pretty close there for a while because they really thought we'd be invaded from the West. And I know I'm speaking to your heart because your dad was a POA over in Germany. Some of the bad guys really sat around and said, we're going to have a problem if we do a land invasion over there because those Americans are all well armed. And I've heard people say politicians prefer unarmed peasants. And to get to the law we are, the deciding voter was Justice Clarence Thomas. I don't know if some of you people knew that or not. And the case that decided it was brought up in the District of Columbia that had really strict gun laws said you can't even have a pistol in your own home. And he said, that ain't what the Second Amendment says. So you'd be surprised at how few us lawyers know anything about the Constitution. Because unless you went to Harvard or Yale and graduated in the 70s, you don't do constitutional law because it doesn't pay. That's for the scholars that go to Washington that work for the government. So anyway, I'm proud to do this, but it probably wouldn't have got done. I'm not going to heap too much praise on Gene Dolly. He had to talk me into it, but he done it. And then when you brought me some of those other resolutions, I think that's right. And Smith County just passed there. So I've got a motion and I think 2 seconds to adopt this resolution. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll vote. Those in favor, please indicate.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0. And I'll send this to our state representatives just to remind them how we feel about the situation. But I'm pretty sure ours feel the same way. All right. Number 5, discuss and take action to accept Emma Oaks into the county road inventory.
I spoke with Andy Jordan, our road administrator, this morning, and through a series of efforts by him to make sure that that road was brought back up into specifications and to really to provide information to any future developers that we do watch, we do take care of our roads when they're brought into specifications set by the county. But we won't if you don't. But Mr. Jordan has indicated that this gentleman has taken care of the road and brought it up and had to do 2 or 3 different things to get it done. But I think we should accept it based on that recommendation.
Take a motion.
That's my motion.
Second.
Motion and a second that we accept Emma Oaks into the county road inventory. Any further discussion? Those in favor, please indicate.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0. Thank you, Mr. Burke, Mr. Jordan. Number 6, discuss and take action to close the courthouse second floor restrooms to the public and to designate them employee only.
All right, I actually put this on the agenda. We've had, over the last couple months, we've had a couple incidents where citizens have been following into the bathrooms due to a step-up ledge, and I just wanted to present it before the court to see if we could, you know, close the bathrooms to the public and make them employees only, being we got first floor bathrooms that are ADA compliant, easy access, and are nice bathrooms.
Yes, sir.
There's a step-up ledge into the bathrooms, and so when citizens are walking in, they're actually tripping over the ledge and falling into the bathrooms.
I hadn't really thought about this because it got placed on the agenda, so I'd like to hear from my commissioners their thoughts. Thank you for sharing yours.
Well, first I want to state that we do have them clearly marked. The step-up is painted. There is a big red sign that says step up as you go in, and there is a sign on the inside that says step down. So it's not like we have not taken every opportunity to try to remedy that situation, but there are those that still manage to do that. So
My concern with closing it only is I don't know that that relieves us, without putting a rope or a chain on it or a lock or whatever, that relieves us of any responsibility. It's, as I mentioned earlier, that if I've got a swimming pool with a fence around it, and, you know, don't crawl over this fence into my swimming pool, doesn't stop me from a liability if somebody crawls over my fence and gets in my swimming pool. Or the same thing with my dog. So it's not, I'm all for
right.
Doing what you want to do. I just don't know that, and I'm asking you, Judge, if that really relieves us of any responsibility if someone were to go in there anyway.
I don't know. Mr. Miller? If you have any words of wisdom, you don't have to state anything.
I really don't on this one, sir.
I'm going to ask y'all to table this because I was admittedly gone last week. Let me sleep on it, but that's up to y'all. We'll handle however y'all want.
Well, Mr. Womble, would a ramp be possible? I mean, I know that there's the computer stuff in the closet. Is there any kind of... No,
because it would be so far out in the hallway that people getting off the elevator would be an issue. And as I talked to Mr. Nicholson about this yesterday, I don't know how many bathrooms we're required to have in this facility for the number of people in here, because I know that there's a number that the government expects us to have.
OSHA requires us to have 4 bathrooms per 80 employees. They didn't have nothing on, was, you know, as far as citizens wise, you know. So, but I just wanted to bring it before the court and let the court be aware of it. And
well, I have a question about this. Marked before, is that suppose somebody's down here on the second floor, and all of a sudden they get sick in their stomach, or they have some kind of medical issue. There are people that are incontinent, have to go to the bathroom and all that kind of stuff. You've got this marked employees only. Is an exception going to be made for emergency cases like that?
Of course. Okay. If I have to go really bad, I'm in front of your house. I'm going to go unless I hit a locked door. Yes, if whatever we did, it would be the understanding if somebody got in a bind.
And we can't talk to each other about this issue. That's why I'm bringing stuff before court.
Sometimes right.
Stuff don't go through, and, you know, this makes it addressing the issue and letting y'all be aware of the issue.
Why don't y'all give me a motion to table this?
I'll give you a motion to table it.
Second.
I appreciate that from both you guys. Thank you. Most in a second, we table this issue till we all sleep on it some more. Any further discussion? Those in favor of putting it on the table, please indicate.
Aye.
It's tabled. It's nothing more permanent than a temporary solution.
Aye.
All right, discuss, number seven, discuss and take action to set policy and procedure for county buildings and election.
Okay, that was my item on the agenda.
Okay.
This last election day cycle we had some issues with the alarms going off Monday when elections was trying to get into the library. And then again on Tuesday when they were trying to get in to set up and get everything turned on. And what came out of that is that we do not know who is on the call list. We know that our maintenance person who is in charge of buildings is not. And so I wanted to kind of address those situations so that he be added to be a person that's called if the alarm goes off. Yes.
To add Mr. Womble?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And I also wanted to throw out there possibly of adjusting hours for having someone also here at the courthouse too when election night. The library, if one of the employees could come in and they stagger their time just on the election day, so you'd have election day for the primary, possibly a runoff, and then your November election, which would be your constitutional or your general, have those times staggered. That way, one of the employees from the library would be there to do with the alarm and all of that kind of stuff so that the election workers would not have an issue with that. Courthouse, Lori is usually here setting up and everything, and she has keys so she can get in. But during election nights, because of the amount of people that come in and out of the building when we have elections, I would like to talk to the sheriff about having his the courthouse security person be here, you know, maybe come in later or have someone else come in and work until everybody's out of the building and secure the building, because sometimes that's really late at night. And so those are just some of my suggestions and my thoughts. And so
your motion's really within the parameters of the election days and
yes,
runoff election, because we have to be open past 5.
Yes.
Okay.
And the courthouse is open to what? What time do you look back at the courthouse? 9:30?
Sometimes it's midnight, depending on presidential elections. They can be really late. And so
most of the time it's 5 p.m. though, now that, you know, we're all like,
yeah. I'm remembering old school.
Your request to have someone on staff, from the staff of the library, be there when we open? Is that what you're saying?
We need about a half an hour to get in and turn the machines on and that kind of thing.
We need him about 6 o'clock on election day.
Okay.
Because they have to run reports, and those reports sometimes take anywhere from 15 to 45 minutes.
But you can get in.
Yes, I can't run on the lights
or
the alarm.
But you can't do anything with that.
From 6 o'clock to 7, it was going off like every 3 minutes to 5 minutes. And they had one strand of lights that were left on that, you know, it was hard to see to set up.
So that's the morning time. And then the evening time, the problem?
No, there was nothing in the evening time.
Were you able to set the alarm?
I'm just saying, whoever, if we have an employee from
the
library, then they could close up and set the alarms and all that good stuff, and that way it wouldn't be on whoever the election judge is and the election workers there.
And would be no increase in hours because you'd stagger shifts, is that what
right.
you're saying?
Right, well that's my suggestion, but I mean there could be somebody else that has something totally different, and that would involve us okaying overtime possibly 3 times a year. So that's why it was brought all back.
All right, we need somebody to be assigned to draw something up.
Okay.
So this specific.
Well, Ms. King.
I just had a question. You're saying David's not on the call list?
No, he's not.
I don't have a call list that, if our alarm goes off, I get an email, but I don't get a phone call. And he is set up in the system to turn the alarm system off.
He couldn't get it to turn off, so.
I have a printout, I can get a printout where it shows he turned the alarm off on Monday whenever he came in.
And then it came back on right after that, is what I was told.
Okay, because.
So I don't know what's happening.
I did not see that on the report.
Because I think Gilmore responded and Upshur County responded both days.
So I'm just trying to.
And Upshur County responded to us.
Make sure that if it's, your name is on there, and that way he can get a response to.
Yes, he's set up in the system, I will double check it, but like I said, on, when I looked at my report, it showed that it was disarmed by him.
And we had an issue up here too with some election workers being up here late at the courthouse without securities, I understand it. It's my fault, because I was gone. If I was here, it wouldn't have been a problem, because you could have called me and I'd have come up here, read the paper or something. So nobody's picking on anybody. Let's just, why don't y'all let me write up a regimen that says, here's the procedure for election days, and Lori Harrell will be in, at the top of that, and will say, here's where my elections are and what I need to happen. And then will the court will be involved, and Womble will, and Mr. Womble will, and the sheriff will. How about that? We need something specific that says, hey, sheriff.
Because this is the first time that this has ever happened.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. It's just a bump in the road.
That's true. It's not a big deal. Normally, during the elections, Ms. Lori would send me an email saying when she needed security being up here. I think that kind of got a little confused this year because of the fact that security is now permanently assigned to the courthouse here on the square, and that email did not go out, so I was not made aware of any need for that to happen, because I have to adjust hours on people that come up here to work, because they are compensated for what they're doing up here, so I need to make sure that I have that schedule when y'all need it, and then I could make adjustments for my personnel to get that stuff covered.
Awesome.
But that's all I need. If I need an email from somebody of what y'all need, then I'll make that happen.
Thank you.
If y'all will make a motion to reset this next time, I'll write something up and let all four of y'all look at it.
My only question would be to Ms. King.
Sure.
The suggestion of staggering on those two, 3 days, not a problem for you? Okay.
You know, part of the issue was that the week before, Lori, I was told by her that she called one time to make arrangements. She never got with me. Monday, the library's closed. That's my day off. I get an email at 3 o'clock saying they need to come set up at the library, and then the alarm goes off at 3:15.
Well, we'll do better in the future.
We'll get that ironed out. Okay, state a motion, somebody.
I make a motion to table this until the 30th of this month. Where you can.
27.
I'm sorry.
So it'll be 8 more days.
That we vote on a protocol for handling election security matters.
What you said.
Okay. Have a second?
Second.
Motion and a second that we author a protocol to provide for election day security measures specifically at the courthouse and at the library, and that we take that matter up with the protocol on the 27th, the next meeting. Any further discussion? Those in favor, please indicate.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0.
Yes, sir.
That's a new procedure I just made up. It's sort of like a table, but it's a table with a tail on it that says we're going to take action on it. Number 8, discuss and take action to canvass the election results from the November 5, 2019 constitutional amendment election. We're supposed to canvass the voting results and certify that we're true. Ms. Harrell, I suppose all this is true. And it looks like, did I read something you wrote, Philip, that all the amendments passed but one?
Yes.
And we followed the trend?
Exactly, statewide. There were 9 out of 10 approved, but the county voted against the one that failed statewide, and 4 out of 9 that passed statewide. That is right.
All right. Need a motion to approve the election results.
Motion to approve canvas election results for the November 5th, 2019 constitutional amendment election.
Second.
There's a motion and a second that we canvass and then approve the election results, which were held on November 5, 2019. Just to pronounce this, proposition number 1 failed. Propositions 2 through 10 passed. Any further discussion? Those in favor, please indicate.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0. Thank you, Ms. Harrell. Number 9, discuss and take action to create a 3-way stop at Baseball Loop and the new Diana Elementary School driveway.
That is me. I received a call from Mr. Pope at the school, and people seem to stop for the school bus, but not anybody else. And so he requested that we put up two. There is a stop sign there that comes off of the elementary drive onto Baseball Loop. But what he's asking for are 2 additional stop signs from each direction off of the Baseball Loop to make it a 3-way stop. And so that is my motion towards the court. I have spoken to Andy. Depending on what the court says, then he will go out there and set the 2 extra stop signs.
Is that the Robert F. Hunt Elementary School that's on the other side? Okay. You said Pope, was that Greg Hunt?
Yes.
Mr. Pope, yes.
That's my cousin's
husband. Yeah.
I didn't know he was.
And there's a lot of flow of traffic on that because y'all split the pickup lines. Some of them load on 154 and then some pick up on Baseball Loop side, so there is a lot of flow of traffic on that road.
It's a safety measure in short.
Yes, it is.
Need a second? Okay, I have a motion and a second. That's your motion, Ms. Gentry?
Yes, it is.
And Mr. Nicholson second. Any further discussion? Those in favor, please indicate.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0. Next are items 10 and 11. These really are going to be joined together. Number 10, discuss and take action to accept the resignation of Ronnie Mitchell as Constable of Precinct 3. Mr. Mitchell has graciously agreed to continue his service until a replacement was found. And so at this time, the court's going to go into executive session as authorized by the Vernon, Texas Code's annotated Section 551.071 for consultation. Is authorized by 551.074A1 to interview applicants for the Precinct 3 constable position and then to consider and discuss accepting the resignation and, subject to that, appointing an interim. The time is now 9:40 a.m. I've been advised that the other matter that was set for executive session is not going to be had. The county's civil attorney is not going to be here. So I'm going to scratch that off. We're going in to discuss the situation with the constable. So we're now in closed session. Sir?
We have more than one applicant for the constable now, just one.
I don't know. Last I heard, it was one besides Mr. Mitchell.
Okay.